Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today, we want to continue on with our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So this will be part two of our series, and I'm telling you, it's going to be good. Get ready. Buckle your seatbelt because it's about to get really interesting in this topic here, because God has given me some stuff that's going to, like, wow, it's going to just amaze you. You know, because the fact is, we live in a world, we live in a modern church world where many believe that the gifts of the Spirit have been done away with, they're no longer needed. But I'm here to tell you they're needed more than ever before, because the days are evil, the wickedness is mounting up against the church all around the world, and we need everything that God has given us at our disposal to use. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not a luxury, but a necessity. And so before we get into all that, as is my custom, I want to introduce my lovely, amazing, beautiful, wonderful wife, Miss Norca Karina.
Hi, everyone, once again. Today here, we are recording this podcast. It is a Sunday. We had an amazing, beautiful time in church, and I just wanted to share that with you because we are filled with everything that the Lord gave and made available today. And so with this excitement, this anticipation, this expectation, this anointing, with this aroma of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we are recording this, trusting and knowing that the Lord is so abundant and so generous. He is going to give you so much more than you think that you are going to receive. So as my husband was saying, it's going to be an amazing topic. It already is. We already started, and we do encourage you to please listen to the prior podcasts. They are so enriching. It's not because you are just gaining knowledge, but it's life-changing knowledge that is so applicable and makes a difference in your life in terms of how abundant of a life you want to live. And you know what? The Apostle Paul said something that has stuck to me. And he said that he wanted us to be useful to the ministry. And I think that is so beautiful and so powerful as we remember that the Lord has saved us not just so that we can call ourselves Christians and one day go to heaven, but actually have a powerful impact in the lives of others. So let's listen with our heart and let's allow the Holy Spirit to teach us what He wants to speak to each one of us individually and as the body of Christ.
Amen, sweetheart. I appreciate your contribution as always. You're such a wonderful companion and contributor to these podcasts, you know, and of course to my life. Is God has blessed me after all these years of waiting for a spouse, and God has simply amazed me because you are definitely a fulfillment of Scripture, where He says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and He has done that by giving me you to be my wife, sweetheart, and I love you so much.
That's so kind. Love you too.
Okay. Thank you, sweetheart. Appreciate that. Without further ado, let's move on into the Scriptures. Some people are probably wondering why, you know, what's all this lovey-dovey stuff? Get on with the Word. Let's get into the teaching of the Word. But, it's, you know, it's a good thing to share that, because that's another part of our ministry, is to share, you know, what God has done in our lives and our marriage. And, you know, it can inspire other people, because there are people out there who are having marriage problems and troubles. That's and true. They need to be encouraged that, you know what, it is possible with God to see a miracle done in your life. And we can testify that, because we both have waited a long time.
That's right. This is a miracle, definitely.
Amen. So praise the Lord for that. God is good, and His mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Okay, so in talking about gifts of the Spirit, I want to go back to one of the foundation scriptures I used in the last podcast, which is Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 through 24. And Jesus is speaking to them. It says, "And then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." What I want to key on here is this. He says, "For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Now we know, many of us know, that Sodom and Gomorrah was a city that was very sinful. And God saw how evil it was and decided to destroy that city. And here Jesus is saying that if the mighty works had been done in them, that was done in Capernaum, that city would have repented and would still be here today. Wow.
That's deep.
And if that doesn't show you how important and valuable the mighty works are, and I will say this, that the mighty works are the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation, the gifts of miracles, the gifts of healing, the gift of deliverance, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, all these spiritual gifts that were in operation in the early church in Jesus' ministry and then the apostles' ministry, and has been around for the last 2,000 years, if those gifts had been in operation in Sodom, it would have got their attention and it would have brought that city to a place of repentance, and that city would still be here today. So what does that say about our need to have the gifts of the Spirit? People need it. You know, say, well, you know, I'm not going to be one probably called to go out and win a city to the Lord. You know, maybe not. Maybe you're not that person. But somebody else might be that needs to hear this, or somebody who you can influence. But what about people in your city that maybe they need a miracle? What about somebody who's dying of an incurable disease? You know, because when Jesus went out performing miracles and these mighty works, what things did he do that helped people? When you think about leprosy, for one, I was studying on that here a little while ago. And leprosy is an infectious disease that eats away at a person's skin, nervous system, whatever. And it is so horrible that it disfigures them, even to the point that, you know, their nose can be eaten away, their fingers, their limbs. I mean, it is horrible. And for centuries, people were an outcast. They were separated from the rest of society because it was contagious. And it was discovered by a researcher last name Hansen. And then they ended up calling it the Hansen disease. But anyway, it wasn't until the 1950s that they started really discovering some treatments for it. And then that didn't work because it became resistant to drugs. And then it was the 1970s where they started these trials. In 1980 or 81, somewhere around in the early 80s, was that the World Health Organization came up with this multi-therapy drug, you know, where you have to, you know, take these several drugs for a period of so many months, up to maybe 2 years, to cure it. What I'm getting at here is that it took nearly 2,000 years since the days of Jesus of healing leprosy to come up with a cure in medical science. Just of recent decades in our lifetime, they finally found a cure. So what did all the people do since then, up till that time? They suffered tremendous agony and separation from other people, and nothing could be done about it. But God is a healing God.
Amen.
Jesus is a healer. And Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So for those people who are saying, well, we don't need the gifts of the Holy Spirit today, well, I can tell you what, none of them have suffered leprosy. None of them were born blind. None of them were having incurable disease. Because, you know, when you're in that situation where you need a miracle, you know what? Most of the time, you're not going to believe for one because you don't need one. But when you need one,
right,
you know, you're desperate for help. And so there's a lot of people in the world that need help. There's all kinds of incurable diseases that still hasn't been cured. What about cancer? Has cancer been cured? Are there people still dying of cancer today? What about other aspects of the gifts of the Spirit? Not just healing of diseases, but what about divine protection? What about deliverance from your enemies?
That's right.
What about the gift of the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge or the gift of prophecy? In these gifts that can come into operation to help a person know what to do in a situation. You were talking, you preaching a message earlier today at church, sweetheart, about God's shalom and his peace. And you used a reference back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 about when the people of God, you know, Israel, was under threat of being destroyed by three armies. They were surrounded by three armies, and they didn't know what to do. King Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do. So what did he do? Well, let's go back and look at it. And I'll start at verse 12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Mm. That's powerful.
It's beautiful.
I'm so glad that you preached this message today, sweetheart. This was beautiful. Now all Judah, with their little ones and their wives and their children, stood before the Lord. And notice what happened next. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. And I'm going to skip down through all these names, sons, that he's a son of. And verse 15, and he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you. Is he just making stuff up here?
No, this is the word of God.
This is the word of God coming upon him because it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's.
Amen.
Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jezreel. And you will not need to fight in this battle.
Amen.
Glory to God. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now see, why is this important? You say, well, we're not living in that day. Oh, we're not? Let me remind some people of what some things that are going on in the world right now. Taiwan is actually surrounded, or, you know, not completely around in a circle, but they are basically surrounded by China. China is humongous, and Taiwan is a little tiny island nation that China believes belongs to them. And matter of fact, even the United Nations say that China legitimately has a right to Taiwan. But yet the United States has supported Taiwan as an independent nation to some degree because of the fact is, you know, I don't have time to go into the history of how Taiwan and split off from China. But the point is, they have no defense system against China by themselves. Now, somebody says, well, you know, they got the United States' help. That's if we support them. Let's look at some past track records of who the United States has supported and how that went. Let's talk, you know, we can talk about some good successful cases, but let's talk about some ones that fell through. What happened to South Vietnam? We went in and supported them, and then we pulled out and left them to the communists. What happened in Afghanistan? We went in and supported them, established them, and then 20 years later, we pulled out and let the Taliban take over. What happened to the people in there that sided in with us to support a westernized form of government? What happened to those people? Most of them were killed that were in government. We left them high and dry. So what does Taiwan have to defend themselves against China? Practically nothing. So they're like Israel right here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, surrounded by a great army, three armies, and they could do nothing about it. Just as they said here, as we just read in verse 14? Let me go back to that.
Verse 12.
Matter of fact, I need to get back to that other page. Okay. In verse 13, he says, now all Judah with their little ones and their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Okay, verse 12, you're right. O God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Hmm. They didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Do they run? Do they hide? Do they try to fight? Do they offer terms of surrender? Do they try to offer terms of peace? What do they do? They don't know what to do. And yet, the answer was, what does God say to do? What is he going to do? And it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, and he began to prophesy and say that God told him, you do not need to go up in this battle, for the battle is not yours, but is God. So God told him what to do was to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, some people might say today, well, that's all you got to do is do what they did. No, what you need to do is hear from God and what he's saying to do. Because he may say, you know what, that's not what I'm going to have you do in this situation. What I want you to do is this other thing. And so what I'm getting at is this. Why are the gifts of the Holy Spirit important today? It's because we need every one of these gifts to be in operation so that we can fully benefit from all that God has made available to us. And one of those gifts is the gift of prophecy. Somebody says, well, we don't need prophecy today because the office of the prophet and all that stuff's been done away with because that was only given for the church in the early days to guide them because they didn't have the Bible in print, the New Testament. Well, you know what? That's what some Bible colleges and Bible and denominations actually teach. But that's not true. It's not true. Where does it say in the Bible? Let me give you an example. Where does it say in the New Testament for Taiwan and what to do in dealing with China? Show me that verse. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not in there. You might say, well, we're supposed to pray and seek God and trust God for divine protection, all that kind of stuff. Well, all that's true in the general sense. But specifically, what does it say to do? Does it say to offer terms of surrender, offer terms of peace, to say to fight against them? Does it say just to stand on believing God's divine protection? What does it say to do? I would quote in Psalms 91, but at the same time is we don't always know how a war might go with one nation versus another nation. So if I'm living in Taiwan, I'm going to pray and ask God, what do I do? Because I don't know what the government's going to do. I don't know if they're going to pray.
That's a good point.
I don't know if they're going to seek God, find out his wisdom and guidance, because they may decide to do whatever they think is best, and that may not be the best course of action for all the nation. Right. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to hear what God's telling me to do, and he may say, get on the plane and get out of there, because they're going to be overrun. They're going to try to defend themselves, and the United States is going to, you know, support them for maybe, you know, 6 months and then give up. Who knows? You know, I love the United States. I'm born here as a citizen, but I'll be honest with you. I don't trust them any more than from what I saw the past track record of what they did with some of these countries. Because it ain't about the government itself. It ain't about our nation. It's about administrations, who's in office during what periods of time. And for 20 years, we supported Afghanistan, but we had an administration come in and decide, you know what, enough is enough. We can't defeat the Taliban, so let's just pull out. They gave up. We had victory, and they gave up. We had victory in Vietnam, but they gave up. They got weary in battle. They got weary. And you know what? We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is most essential now more than ever. You think the devil's gone away? You think he don't want to try to invade other nations? We live in the comfort a lot of times in the West and not realize just how easy we have it. And, you know, we can turn on the news and see all the stuff bad happening around the world. Like, oh, that's so sad. Oh, I hate to see all that stuff happen. My heart goes out to them. And then turn the channel and go back to watching sports. You know, that's real easy to do when we're over here. But what happens when you're in the middle of that situation? You need the gifts of the Spirit. We need the gifts of the Spirit. We need the gifts of the Spirit so that we can show them that the gifts of the Spirit are for today so they can operate in them. Because the gifts of the Spirit are so beneficial in so many ways. They're beneficial in our walk with God for us to hear what God is saying to do, giving us guidance and direction about healing of diseases, protection, everything you can think of that we need. The gifts of the Spirit are vital for these very things. And so, before I continue on, I'm going to have my wonderful wife jump in here and share her some of her insights about what we've been sharing so far.
Everything that you've been saying is so vital. And, you know, as you were speaking now about these different countries and the guidance, and it is so true. How do they know what to do unless someone who knows what tomorrow brings tells them? Because we can share opinions. We can even look at past statistics. We can even look at the record of past reference and say, well, based on the record, this is what I think would be the best thing to do. But that's not good enough. For example, this example that you stated on the people of Israel and how they were surrounded with these three armies, they were hopeless. Naturally speaking, they were hopeless. There was no strategy, there was no war strategy that could possibly defeat the amount of people that were against them. There was no weapon. And it wasn't only adults, it was, you know, children as it states, and it's for a reason that it states it. So the beauty of it is that when we seek God's guidance, when we understand that we need and we want God's guidance, it's not only God's opinion. That's very different. When the Lord through the prophet said to them what they needed to do, it wasn't just passing on information. I'm saying it, I'm laughing because it's so beautiful. God didn't just give them information as to how bad the enemy was or how many people were against them. God didn't give them numbers and didn't give them information to increase their fear. With that word of prophecy, with that wisdom, with that knowledge of what God is saying, God is giving them what they need to hear and know so that they can actually be in peace. there was no strategy, there was no weapon, there was no army, battalion that could have brought Israel the peace that they needed, because it was useless. It was hopeless. Only and only the power of God himself, the word of God that comes with the power of God, gave them the peace that they needed. And you know, as you're talking about, and as we're sharing in this podcast, why are the gifts of the Spirit important? We're talking about the gifts of God. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are the gifts of God. In other words, the manifestation of the power of God. It seems like a question that almost it answers itself, a rhetorical question, because who would deny, who can possibly deny that the power of God isn't needed today? And as you were mentioning with Jesus, yes, he was walking here on earth, and the Spirit of God upon him, what did he do? The power of God healed the sick. The power of God, we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the power of God through the gifts of the Spirit. What did Jesus do? He resurrected the dead. Through the power of God, what did Jesus do? He cast out demons and freed people. Through the power of God, what did he do? He comforted the brokenhearted. What didn't Jesus do? He brought healing in every sense of the word, and it was through the power of God. It wasn't just because the man was able to do it. No, it was the power of God. That is why Jesus specifically said, he didn't say, I'm a human being, I am here, the Father likes me, he's going to watch what I do. He specifically said, the Spirit of God is upon me. In other words, the power of God is upon me, and I'm going to show you what the power of God does. I'm going to show you by doing this and this and this. And he starts listing why the power of God is on him and how it's going to manifest in a visible and natural way to those of us who live here on planet Earth. So why in the world would we even contemplate the possibility, encourage, or entertain the idea that God, who is giving us abundant life, wants an abundant life for us, wants us to know who he is, wants the world to know who he is through his church, would keep us powerless. And when I say powerless, I mean without the gifts of the Spirit. So this is an amazing, beautiful thing that we can even speak about this. And for all of us as children of God, not just to listen to this and say, oh, this is nice, that would be nice. No, this is not only nice, this is what's expected of the child of God. Once you have given your heart to the Lord, now the Holy Spirit comes and abides in you. And it's not just to keep you warm in the winter. The Holy Spirit is inside of you to manifest the power of God, so that the things that Jesus did, as he said, we can do it even in greater measures. And we even see in John verse 16, where the Lord himself says that the Holy Spirit, he was going to guide us in all truth. He was going to guide us. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us. So as you were sharing those examples of these countries and how they needed this guidance, and how we read in Chronicles and how Israel needed desperately to hear what God said about their situation and how would they escape and how would they survive this. We're talking about the guidance of the Holy Spirit for the smallest decisions. as well as the most important decisions in your life. Who am I to marry? What school should I go to? What job should I accept? Should I buy a car or not? Anything and everything that we can think of, the Holy Spirit is interested in guiding us and letting us know that not only can He guide us, but He is willing, He wants to, and He is interested in guiding us in all the decisions that we have to make, and making Him not just part of our life, but the one who actually has the hands on the wheel.
Amen, sweetheart. This is beautiful. I thank you so much. You know, there's so much there that you shared that's so valuable. You know, the little things as well as the large things. Now, consider this, you know, with God knowing the future, He even knows, like, suppose you're wanting to buy a house or you want to move to a certain neighborhood or a certain state and city. And He may know that down the road, that area is going to be flooded out, or that area might be hit with wildfires or whatever. Who knows? Earthquakes. And yet He can lead you even years in advance, months in advance, weeks in advance, to sell your house, move away from those areas, and get to a place that's safer for you to live. And yet you didn't even know it after the fact. Just, wow, I almost moved to that area, and now that area's underwater.
That's right.
You know, even if you hadn't lost your life, it could be an enormous loss of financial blessing, prosperity, because the fact is, you know, maybe you wouldn't have had flood insurance or those types of things. You know, so God can save you from all kinds of situations, because when we talk about Jesus coming to give you life and life more abundantly, it's kind of hard to put your mind around the idea that having an abundant life is when everything's falling apart in your life.
That's true.
Because some will say, well, it ain't about all that, Brother Keith. It's about spiritually. It's about having spiritual life. Okay, that's all good and well and easy to say. But yet Jesus, when He came to give people life and life more abundantly, what was He doing to help alleviate their lack of abundance? By providing healing for the leper, which was incurable till just recent decades. By healing the paralytic. By raising the dead, a woman who was a widow was her only son. She needed that boy, and God raised him back from the dead,
Amen.
So He could be there to help her. You know, so God is there to provide blessing and prosperity for us, and abundant life, and that cannot come without the power of God. Like you said, it wasn't, you know, simply that God had, you know, anointed Jesus just to be a good man and set a good example. He anointed Him with the power of God to undo all kinds of evil works in the world. Sickness, disease, poverty, destruction, the things the devil was doing. He came to alleviate those things to give us the abundant life. And we cannot operate in those things. We cannot receive those things without the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So this is just the beginning of my explanation, you know, of our teaching on this series, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are much needed, more so even today probably than they were 2,000 years ago. And yet we're going to talk more about this in upcoming podcasts, because I want to explain what some of these gifts are, more than, you know, just some generalities about the gifts of miracles and healings. So we're going to kind of conclude this here now and do what we always do, give everybody an opportunity to receive the Lord who may not know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior, because this could be your last day on earth, and we don't want to this day to pass by without you having had this opportunity. So go ahead, sweetheart.
Well, it's the good news, good news of the gospel. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, that means that you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never admitted that you are a sinner, that you are in need of a Savior. This is what the good news of the gospel is. Jesus Christ took your place on the cross, my place, so that we could actually have forgiveness for our sins and we can be reconciled to the Father. So the invitation today is, give your heart to the Lord, give your life to the Lord, and He in return will give you His life, His justice, and you will be a brand new person in Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and God bless you, and we'll pick it up next time.
God bless, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.